So would you stand and join? This is a fun one. So not only is your mind engaged because you're learning a new song here, go ahead, feel free to clap, and you can even move your feet if you want to.
Everybody has trials and temptations. Everybody knows heartbreak, isolation. But we can lay our burdens down. Lay our burdens down. What a friend we have in Jesus. East and west, my sins are gone. I see grace on every horizon. And forever and ever, his heart is my home. Everybody has fears. Everybody got worries. Everybody knows sorrow, devastation. Burdens down. What a friend we have in Jesus. East to west, my sins are gone. I see grace on every horizon. In forever and ever, his heart is my home. No more betrayal, for he is faithful. He fills me up and my cup runneth over. No more betrayal, for he is faithful. How he has proven it over and over. No more betrayal, for he is faithful. He fills me up and my cup runneth over. No more betrayal, for he is faithful. How he has proven over. East to west, my sins are gone. I see grace on every horizon. And forever and ever, his heart is mine. What a friend we have in Jesus. East to west, my sins are gone. I see grace on every horizon. And forever and ever, his heart is mine.
Ooh, hallelujah.
Psalm 139:1-3. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways.
It's wonderful, amen, that he's familiar with our ways.
Lord, I find you. Seeking, Lord, I find you in the doubt, and to know you is to love you, and to know so little else I need you. You. in the doubt, and to know you is to love you, and to know so little else I need you. Oh, how I need you. For your glory woven in your threads of grace, I need you. Oh, how I need you. Skies, make a way bright before me in your light. I will find all I need is you. I need you. Oh, how I need you.
Behind and before, you have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain.
This is my desire to honor you, Lord, with all my heart, I worship you. Worship you. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. Moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. Lord, I give you my heart, I give you my soul. I live for you alone, every breath that I take, every moment I'm awake.
That you have your way in me. Lord, we lift up your name, because in you we find all things. We find everything that's in us that we need. And Lord, we thank you for giving us enough that we can give back to you, and having a plan that you would glorify who you are in this world. So Lord, take our tithes, our offerings, as we give with thankful hearts that we have this to give to you, in great expectations that you will magnify and glorify who you are and fulfill those needs in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I don't know, maybe it's just me, but has anybody just had one of those weeks that you just felt like you just didn't feel good? I don't know, physical, chemical, whatever it is, and you're just like, God, what is going on? This is dragging on a little long. Where is the joy, right, in my life? And do you know, and do you hear what's happening in me? I kind of had one of those weeks this week, and I just didn't know if God was listening. Until I did know. And I did know. God showed me. And one of the things, as you were here heard read this morning, Psalm 139, when you think about the fact that Psalm 139, so encouraging, it says, Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You're familiar with all of my ways. That sink in. You know, it's interesting how you read something very different when you need to hear it versus when you're just reading it. You're like, yeah, that's a nice psalm. I needed it this week, and God really spoke to me. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. I'm so thankful that God has his hand on me. Even when I don't feel it, I will feel it, and it's there. And the cool thing, I often talk about God's purpose. You know, people, human beings, they need purpose in life. Well, God has a purpose for your life, and it very much is like when you throw that pebble in the water and the ripples go out. You don't know whose life you're touching with every look, every smile, every teachable moment with your children, things like that. So take advantage of those. That's some of what we're talking about today.
I am a pebble thrown in the water, where the ripples end, no one knows. I am a drum when struck makes a sound, throughout all time it will echo. 'Cause we have a mission of love and grace, and it's not just for this small place. It's as infinite as time and space, and it resonates across the ages. Ooh, across the ages. God's purpose is what we're all here for. That reason we won't see till the end. The effects of what we do last forever. So we'd better make it good, my friend. Yeah, we better make it good, my friend. 'Cause we have a mission of love and grace. And it's not just for this small place. It's as infinite as time and space. And it resonates across the ages. We have to make every second count as we reflect His love all around us. Make the most of this time we're given, 'cause this is our eternity's beginning. Right now is our eternity's beginning. We have a mission of love and grace, and it's not just for this small place. It's as infinite as time and space, and it resonates across the ages. Ooh, across the ages, yeah. Across the ages.
Amen. Wow. I'm hot.
Be a little humble.
Well, I encourage you to take your Bible and turn over to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Also, if you have a prayer request that you'd like to share for our praise and prayer team that's going to be meeting tomorrow evening, I want to encourage you, you got one of these in your bulletin, you can fill it out, put it in the prayer box on your way out, and we want to be able to lift you up in prayer, or even if it's a request that you only want to share with the pastoral staff, there's a box that you can check on there. Just know that your pastor is praying for you, and that I love and care about each and every one of you. We've been going through the book of James, talking about a vibrant faith. James talks about there's a difference between just believing and living, that there's a difference between just making it to heaven and hearing well done. The last couple weeks on vacation, we've been going through and visiting the two churches that I pastored earlier in my ministry, and two Sundays ago, we went and were able to visit with the very first church that I pastored. We were there for the first 5 years of my ministry. I was married there. My children were born there. We had a lot of fond memories at New Zion Baptist Church. And I went to my old house, and there were the blueberry bushes that I planted the first 6 months of moving in there. And one of the things that I was always just a little bit bitter about was the fact that I planted all those blueberry bushes, and for 5 straight years, I didn't get a single blueberry. And I went back, and of course, now they're big, and they're loaded, and you know, I was able to go and to eat some of the fruit of the bushes that I planted. But one of the things that kind of struck me was is that as I was looking down, I had planted like 5 or 6 blueberry bushes, and one of them was standing there, and it was tall, and it was vibrant, and it was loaded with blueberries, and literally right next to it there was a bush that I planted at the exact same time. It was the exact same size as the other ones that I had planted, but for whatever reason, that bush didn't grow. It didn't thrive. It was still there, but it didn't have any fruit, and it didn't look like it was going to anytime in the near future. And as I sat there and I looked at those two blueberry bushes, it reminded me of the series that we've been talking about, that ultimately what we want as believers isn't just to be saved. It's not just to be alive. We want a faith that is growing and bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit in our life. That we want to thrive. And so this morning, we're going to be continuing in James chapter 4, verses 13, all the way through chapter 5, verse 8. As James talks about, if we're going to have a growing and a vibrant faith, it requires us to seize the moment. We have to seize the moment. And if you found your place, I would encourage you to stand with me as we read James chapter 4, verse 13 and onward. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will travel to such and such a city, or spend a year there and do business and make a profit. And you do not know what tomorrow will bring, what your life will be. For you are like a vapor that appears for a little while, then vanishes. Instead, you should say, if the Lord wills, we will live and do this or that. But as it is, you boast in your arrogance. All such boasting is evil. So it is sin to know the good and yet not to do it. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail over the miseries that are coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded, and the corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You've stored up treasures in the last days. Look, the pay you withheld from your workers who mowed your fields cried out, and the outcry of the harvesters has reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You've lived luxuriously on the earth and have indulged yourselves. You have fattened your hearts in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous who does not resist you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the earthly and late rains. You must also be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Let's pray together. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning asking that your word would speak to each of our hearts. Lord, we pray that today and every day we would live in such a way that we make use of the time that you've given us. Lord, each of us are waiting with expectation and earnest for your return, for the day that we will be able to stand before you. And God, I pray that each of us will be able to stand before you knowing that our lives made a difference. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. Here, James is telling us that a faith that seizes the moment, first and foremost, is conscious of the time. It's conscious of the time. One of the things that I've kind of enjoyed as a new feature on Facebook, I say new, the last couple years, I don't know if it's something that y'all have seen or if you do Facebook, but if you've been on Facebook for a really long time, you put things on there, you might forget about them, but they have this thing, I guess it's like a flashback or something, where it'll say, you know, 5 years ago today, you posted this picture or, you know, this funny thing or whatever. And it's really neat to be able to go back and to see, you know, like we'll post something that the kids will have said that was really funny. One of the things that I think that I'm going to remember for a long time, but one of the kinds of things that could come back was, well, we were talking about the auction that we're going to be having this fall for a fundraiser for the church to help retire some of our debt and to help prepare us for some of the future expenses that are going to be coming up with our building needs. And it's going to be a Louisiana-themed experience. I think they may have even put something about that in the bulletin while I was away. And Colleen heard that we were doing this, and she said, so we're trying to help them experience what it's like in Louisiana. I was like, yeah, that's right. You know, we're going to make jambalaya and, you know, do all this sick stuff. And Colleen was like, well, if we really want them to experience Louisiana, we're going to have to turn up the heat. And I told her, I'll just let Bill Billingsley do that. But right before we left, a picture flashed up on my flashbacks of Colleen, and it was this. She's wearing a little sign called I Love Barbecue Chicken. We were having a barbecue chicken fundraiser at New Zion Baptist Church. And when I saw that picture right before we went to New Zion, and I was able to preach there that Sunday morning and see everybody that I hadn't seen in quite a long time, one of the things that really struck me is how quickly the time flies. That literally, I'm approaching in August my 10th year of ministry. That when I started out, I wasn't married. I had never pastored a church before. I certainly didn't have any children. And you log into Facebook one day and you realize that you've gone from this to the point where my daughter has gone through a third of the time that she will be living in my home. And I think that no matter how old you are, and perhaps the older you get, the more you understand this truth that James is talking about, that life is like a vapor. That it's here one day, it's gone the next, that even when we have what we would consider to be the normal amount of time that we would expect to be on this earth, the truth is that it's really easy to just let it slip away. It's really easy for all of us to get caught up in the busyness of life and say, well, you know, right now I need to focus on my career. Right now I just really want to get out and enjoy all of these hobbies that all surround us. It's easy for us to allow us to sit down in front of the television as our children are living their lives around us, and the next thing that we know, we go from having a little child to having our child walk out the door. And I want to encourage each and every one of you who are here today, who are parents, who are grandparents, that ultimately what your children need in their life, what your grandchildren need in their life is not a nicer house to live in. It is not a nicer car to ride in. It is not nicer clothes to wear or the ability to be able to participate in every kind of extracurricular activity that our society offers. That ultimately what is going to make the difference in your child's life more than anything else is you. And our opportunity, our window for influence and making a difference in their life is like a vapor that in a moment will vanish. And the truth is that this time that we have, sometimes it just seems like it goes by like that, but then for others of us, the truth is that we really don't know how much time we really do have. Having gone back and visited some of my former church members, it was a time of great joy to be able to see people who we consider to be a part of our extended family. It was a joy to be able to talk with them and to catch up on the things that had been going on in their lives. But it also was a time of sadness for me, because as I stood up at the pulpit and looked out on the congregation, there were many people who weren't there that if you had asked me 5 years ago, I would have said they would have been. And it was something unexpected. It was something that was sudden. For some of them, literally, they just walked out to the shed to grab a tool, and they never came back. And the truth is that God doesn't make any promises when it comes to our life. That ultimately, what He has given us is today. That today is the day that we have to make a difference, and we are not promised tomorrow. And so, at the end of today, will your wife and your children know that you love them? At the end of today, will your neighbors and your coworkers know and hear from you the love and the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ? At the end of today, will your community and your church family look back on your life and know that you lived it to glorify God and to make a difference? It's really easy for us to say, you know what, I will get about the Lord's work tomorrow. For many of us, we start off our lives and our careers and we get married and we are wanting to love life and experience all of the things that being a new couple is. And so we say, well, I've got a little bit of freedom now. I'll go and I'll get involved in ministry a little bit later on in my life. And then what do you know? Some kids come along and when you have newborns, you know, that's just absolutely crazy. You're not sleeping. You don't have time for anything. And then they get a little bit older, and you get so involved in all of the activities and the sports and the clubs that you're running here and there, and you're thinking, well, just a little bit later, I'll be able to serve the Lord. And then you get to the point where they graduate, and they're moving out, and you look around, and you're like, wow, we're finally free. We can go and take vacations and do all the things that retired people want to do. And then you get a little bit later, and you realize that, wow, I'm not as young as I used to be, and I got to leave this to the younger group, and I just need to sit in my rocking chair. And the next thing that we know, we've spent our entire life with reasons why not to make a difference. And ultimately, if we're going to live a life that matters, if we're going to seize the moment, we have to be conscious of the time. Second thing that James teaches us, not only a faith that seizes the moment and is conscious of the time, but it invests in things that will last. Go back and look with me in verse 5, chapter 5, verse 1 through 6. Come now, you rich people, weep and wail over the miseries that are coming on you. Your wealth is rotted and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded. And their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You've stored up treasure in the last days. Look, the pay that you withheld from your workers who mowed your fields cried out, and the outcry of the harvesters has reached the ears of the Lord of hosts. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have indulged yourselves. You have fattened your heart in the day of slaughter. You have condemned, you have murdered the righteous who does not resist you. A couple weeks ago, I came across a bunch of pictures of artists who draw on sidewalks, and I've always been really fascinated. I don't know if you've ever seen some of the videos of the guys who will get out there, and they'll spend an entire day, and we got some different pictures of just some absolutely amazing, like, there's no way I'd ever be talented enough to do this, but even just some of the imagery and the imagination of the things that they come up with is just inspiring to me. That one's my favorite. I'm a big Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan. But when you see these drawings, it's almost like it's another world, that you can just pop into like you're in the middle of Mary Poppins or something. But one of the things that, while I really appreciate the work and the artistry behind this kind of art, one of the things that always makes me a little bit sad about this is that I feel like some of these are so wonderful, they should be put up in a museum, and generations of people can look at these and admire them and appreciate them. But for the vast majority of these, one rain, and it's gone. And to me, that is such a tragedy that someone would spend so much time and effort and such beauty would be lost just because it rained. And the truth is that what James is telling us here at the beginning of chapter 5 is that there will be many, many people who get to the end of their lives and they realize that what they spent their life on ended up not mattering, because the focus of their life was something that this world had to offer. That it was something that, regardless of how nice your house is or how well it's built, and we went and visited some historic homes that, yes, they may even last 100 or 200 years, but there will be a day where your house is nothing but dust. As we were going along the coast, they have this big thing called Cruising the Coast, where they have all of these classic cars that go through, and I am always amazed at the beauty and the artistry of all of these classic cars. But you know what? There will be a day where all of these cars will be nothing but rust. There will be a day when even the extent of everything you've been able to save for your life savings will be gone. As a matter of fact, there is only one thing in all of this world that can last longer than you, and that is the people that God has put in your life. And so ultimately, if we're going to make a difference, we not only have to be conscious of the time, but we have to understand what is it that really matters in this life. That ultimately, if you're putting all of your focus on your success and upon your career, there is going to be a day where you retire and that chapter of your life is over with. That there is going to be a day where even if you're able to amass all of the wealth of this earth, that ultimately what matters is not who you're passing that on to, that what they should receive from you is not a thing, but you. But if we're going to make a difference in this life, we have to understand the thing that really matters. And if we want to know what really matters, we look to the Scripture and we ask God, if you look at everything that there is in all of the world, what matters to you? And God said, God so loved the world. That ultimately, when we store up treasures for ourselves on earth, we are setting ourselves up for living a life that doesn't matter. And the only way that we store up treasure for ourselves in heaven is by investing it in the people that God has put in our life. That ultimately, as a church, our focus doesn't need to be on buildings or programs or budgets, but on people. That ultimately, the health and the test of the vibrance and effectiveness of a church body is on our ability to reach out to our community with the gospel of Christ and love the people that God has put in our path. That the ultimate measure of the success of a church is our faithfulness to love people the way that God loves them. A faith that seizes the moment It's conscious of the time. It invests the things that will last. And finally, it patiently endures. Verse 7 and 8, therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the earthly and late rains. You also must be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Here, James is telling us that if we're going to seize the moment, we have to be patient in the way that the farmer is patient. And at first, this might seem like a contradiction of how, you know, how does seizing the moment have to do with patience? Because for whatever reason, we have this idea of patience, kind of like that old country song. Actually, it's not too old, I guess. But have you ever heard it? Waiting on a Woman. That's kind of our idea of patience, right? Is that, you know, kind of like, well, we were on our trip, and, you know, I take Ashton out shopping, and I actually picked her out a new outfit and a new dress and shoes and all that kind of stuff. But we went out shopping together, and this is how it always goes. You know, we'll walk into a store, and I'll kind of have in my mind, this is what we're looking for. You know, I'm looking for a dress that is going to look great on my wife, and nothing else in the store matters to me, right? And I already kind of have pictured in my mind, like, what kind of dresses are going to be really flattering and which ones are not going to work for her. And so I'm just walking through the aisles, and I'm kind of going like this. And, you know, if I stop to pause for something, then it's really got potential, and then maybe I'll put it back or maybe I'll hold on to it. But, like, literally, I'll walk through an entire JCPenney's in 10 minutes flat. All right, and I kid you not, it happens every time. I walk through the entire ladies' department having looked at every rack, and I might come back with one or two things that might work, and there my wife is at the very first rack of clothes. And so our concept of patience is this whole, you know, kind of kick back in a rocking chair and do nothing because we don't have anything to do, because I've already looked at every rack in the store, and I'm just waiting on her to realize that none of the rest of the clothes are going to work for what we're looking for. But ultimately, that's not a farmer's view of patience, is it? If you've ever had a garden, you know that you're not just like sitting back in the rocking chair waiting for the field to plant itself. You're not sitting back in the rocking chair waiting for the berries or the corn or the tomatoes to be picked. Now, yes, ultimately, to be a farmer, you do have to be patient, right? Because even when you prepare the soil, and even when you plant it, and even when you fertilize it, and even when you weed it, and you harvest it, that ultimately, if God does not send the rain, nothing is going to grow. That if God does not send the sun, nothing is going to grow. That if God does not do his work, and those are things that sometimes we have to wait patiently for, it didn't work. But ultimately, a farmer's view of patience is not one where we sit back and just wait for all of it to happen. It is where we prepare the field and then trust that God is going to produce the harvest. And in the same way, when James is telling us that we have to patiently endure, he's not saying that as Christians that we say a prayer and come down the aisle and put our name on the roll and get wet and then sit back in our pew and kick back our feet until Jesus comes again. That ultimately what he has said is that if we're going to live lives that make a difference, that we have to get out of our seat and into the street with a message of love and forgiveness and mercy of the gospel of Jesus Christ. If we're going to make a difference, we have to be about the work of Christ for every moment that he has given us. until there will be a day where none of us expect. Either the day where he calls you home or me home, or the day where the clouds open up and Jesus just comes back and that is it. But ultimately, if we're going to make a difference, it's not going to be just walking through this life, living for all of the things that the rest of the world lives for. Hoping to have a nice job and a nice home and some nice vacations, a comfortable retirement, and just put ourselves on cruise control until Jesus returns. But ultimately, if we're going to make a difference, we have to have the kind of passion, the kind of urgency that the New Testament church had to say, if we don't reach the world for Christ, no one will. That ultimately, as the church, we are God's plan A to take the message of the gospel to our neighbors and to the nations, and there is no plan B. That God wants to use us. And that's amazing, isn't it? That the God of the universe wants to use us in his plan to save the world. And we have a moment. One life that is here one day and gone the next to make a difference for all eternity. And that starts in your own home. And for the last few generations, we've been failing even at that. That our children and our grandchildren have not received and followed in the faith of their parents and grandparents. That each one of us, God has placed in the midst of our neighborhoods, in the midst of our places of work, in our extended families, in this community, for the purpose of making a difference in the lives of the people that we come in contact with. And I certainly hope that at the end of my life, my neighbors, those who go to my children's school, the people that I run into at the grocery store, aren't going to be talking about how good my golf game was. I hope they're not going to be talking about that I told some funny jokes or that I had a really nice classic car. Or that I had great influence in the community. At the end of my life, I hope that my family, that my church, that my community knows that I love them. I hope that they know that not just in sentiment, but in action, that I've spent my life showing that I love them and that I love the Lord and that I love them enough to share with them the most important thing that has ever happened in my life. And the thing that could make an eternal difference in theirs. What James is saying is that a vibrant faith lives to make a difference. And I don't know about you, but when I get to heaven, I don't want to just get there. I don't want God to say, okay, well, your name's in, and that's it. I want to hear well done. I want my life to matter. That I have an entire eternity of comfort and joy Trust me. As nice as my house is on the lake, it has nothing on the mansion that I've got waiting for me in heaven. Nothing in this life can compare to what we have waiting for ourselves in heaven. So let's make a difference. Let's seize the moment and live life every day like it could be our last, and that this is the moment that God has given us to make a difference in the lives of our families and our community. As a church, let's make the decision to stop focusing on all the things that don't matter. Those things that we can get all worked up over. Those things that can split and divide us, but ultimately don't make a hill of beans difference on whether or not someone spends their eternity in heaven or hell. As a church, let's store up for ourselves treasures in heaven and say that we as Louisa Baptist Church want to be a part of making an eternal difference for the kingdom of God. This morning we're going to have a time of invitation, a time of reflection, where the Holy Spirit can speak to each one of us and we can realize that if tomorrow never came, what would my life be? How can we use today? How can we use tomorrow to make a difference? Listen to the Holy Spirit and respond as He leads you, as we stand and we sing.
Feel no shame.
are children of God. What great promises that you have for us. Father, as we leave this place today, let it be in celebration of new, abundant life through your Holy Spirit, which gives us strength and power to be victorious in this world. In Jesus' name, amen.
Your faithfulness.